First, I'm very pleased to bring us Phil Taylor from the Taylor Report. Phil's been covering cultural issues recently, and well, let's see if he's on the line with us. Phil, can you hear me?
Yep, I hear you.
Excellent. Okay, Phil, thanks very much for coming today. You're coming in loud and clear.
Good.
Well, I know this is of interest to you. It's my understanding we have the Nobel Prize in Literature being awarded to Herta Müller, a Romanian woman of German descent. And there's a lot of talk about the Nobel Peace Prize, and we perhaps can get into that later. But this particular prize, the Nobel Prize in Literature, it's my understanding that the awarding of it this year might have been somewhat politically motivated. You know, it's coming, after all, on the anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall, and Mueller's writings were critiques of the Soviet government in Romania. Did that strike you at all in terms of...
Yes. Yeah, I would take that view. As a matter of fact, I think that every grown-up person who thinks about the Nobel Prize in any area, well, except maybe science, and by, I'm not even sure about science, but it's certainly a highly politicized phenomenon. And in this case, it's I'd say it's a pain in the neck, and we ought to address it because of what message they may think they are sending. The Nobel Committee says that Herta Müller depicts the landscape of the dispossessed. And I'm sorry to say that if we have to say, well, is she really a champion of the dispossessed or cares about the dispossessed? As far as I know, by the way, I haven't read a lot of Herta Müller. Lately, in the last few days, I've been doing my best to catch up fast. But one thing's very noticeable is that her prime interest and topic is the Transylvanian Germans of Romania. And she talks about their problems. She is a Transylvania German, and they are not the most dispossessed people. If you're thinking about dispossessed people in contemporary Europe, you would have to be thinking about Arabs in France or Africans in Spain and Italy, and certainly if you're talking about Germany itself, there's all kinds of problems of the dispossessed, whether it be the Romani people, Muslims. We had a court case recently of a Muslim woman whose neighbor had been harassing her, so calling her name, so she went to court, a German court. He showed up in court and stabbed her 31 times and killed her. And when the police were called into the courtroom to put a stop to the murderous attack on the Muslim woman, they saw a bearded man who happened to be her husband and shot him. So I don't know if I don't think Herta Müller had anything to say about that. As a matter of fact, Herta Müller has never said a damn thing about the dispossessed of Europe.
Well,
she's talking about the Transylvanian Germans and the problems they encountered, starting with the defeat of Germany, who was our enemy, I'll remind your listeners, and they probably don't remember anymore, in World War II. Her father... Everybody says, I take it from the New York Times, everybody else, was in the Waffen-SS. And no one, no interview I have seen with her so far even thinks, you know, is impolite enough to ask her about her opinion of her father and what role the Waffen-SS in Romania would have played that might have caused a problem for the Transylvania Germans. So to me, the shock is that people aren't addressing her identity, her point of view. Instead, we're hearing stuff about, well, you know, she's a poet, and she cares a lot about the what they call the dispossessed. But it's a very specific group. By the way, you mentioned she's Romanian. Of course, she's German, Romanian, and she grew up speaking German in Western Romania. And she went to university and studied German literature. It's not as though, I mean, there were countries that didn't want to hear any more German after World War II. We want to remind everybody that approximately 60 million people died, horrible circumstances, in a fight with a government that was declared racist, racial superiority government and philosophy, that is Nazism. It was the most horrific ideology that ever put its feet on the earth, and it cost mightily. Now, her father was, again, I want to remind everybody, was Waffen-SS. Waffen-SS was a specifically political wing of the German military formation committed to the Führer. So, you know, again, now Sweden was they were neutral in World War II, so neutral that they allowed German forces to wander around in Sweden until 1943. So I think that they've really kind of let us down here, you know. And there should be some discussion. And also, I'd argue that Herta Mueller is quite an intolerant person. For example, the Germans have now made one country of the former West and East Germany. There are many gifted people from East Germany in the arts. By the way, the most celebrated would be the deceased poet Bertolt Brecht, who never won a Nobel Prize, of course. But she withdrew from the International Writers Organization of PEN, the German element of PEN, because it was allowing former East German writers to join. And she had a political criteria, of course, but it's a bigoted one. She wanted to join in those who want to do a kind of red-baiting, witch hunt, so that if they were associated with the East German Communist Party, they couldn't be members, in her view, of PEN. And since that criteria, her criteria, was not applied, she withdrew. In my view, she's a bigot. She's a highly intolerant person. She's also been attacking the present government in Romania for not doing more to hunt down people that she considers the bad guys. So this is a story, in my view, of the Nobel Committee lending itself to a kind of point of view which is very welcome in the new rising right-wing Europe, East Europe, where a lot of the old issues are coming back. Issues of, certainly for the Romani people would know, the Gypsies, as it had been called, have suffered persecution. There are calls for, in all across East Europe, for racial purity and for right-wing views, not only of contemporary politics, but going back into history of what happened. So I think we should be saying, okay, let's revisit the subject. We had an agreement to bring peace at the end of World War II, and Herta Mueller is one of those that didn't like the way World War II was ended. And so we should have an argument with her and with the new right of Europe, who seem to think that they can go back to their old affection for fascism.
I actually read several years ago her book, The Land of Green Plums, and I don't remember it too well, but I do think she did see the world from a very specific viewpoint. In particular, I think a lot of the things that she tried to portray about Romania were more from the perspective of someone who feels as an outcast, someone who's different because of having a different ethnic background, and not so much a criticism of the system. But in the case of her focus on these German minorities in Romania, her writings and her activism have attracted very positive attention from German heritage associations, sort of Germandom organizations.
Yes. And yes.
You know, there's German enclaves and populations in nearby countries to Germany, or Romania and elsewhere. And, I mean, anyone with a sense of history would be a little bit concerned over the way this is going, because we're seeing an increasing focus on how are German populations outside Germany being treated, and do they have enough political representation? Are they integrated enough with the motherland and so forth? You know, and it just seems to be part of what's happening right now in terms of German economic expansion throughout Eastern Europe in particular, and the German populations there can facilitate that, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree, and I think that they've attempted to make her out quite a victim, but I don't see it at all. She was She's a Romanian, a German descent, who complained about the treatment of her family. Her mother, we're told, she was born in 1953, long after her father had served him with the Waffen-SS and supported the German cause in World War II. But they say that her mother spent 5 years working in Ukraine, and one journal even called it slave labor. Well, I don't know that it was. One thing I notice about this is that there's no discussion, no one who knows her is ever quoted. She makes a lot of wild, nasty accusations against people, particularly in contemporary Romania, and I've been checking Romanian political debates, and I notice that is a part and parcel of contemporary Romanian society. Is the most outrageous things are said about each other, and I don't see any effort on the part of journalists, anybody, to get to the bottom of these things. They all call each other fascists, they all call each other Stasi or Securitate, and it's meaningless, because it's a kind of cursing, unless somebody's going to be factual and do the research. But I don't see any attempt to do that with her. She had a long article in the August 31st issued, you can help me with the pronunciation, I think it's a Zeit, German paper, in which she says that basically that the old secret beliefs of Romania are still there, but she spreads it also to West Germany, or to Germany, where she's now living, because she's angry with the German police and authorities, and she's angry with the with Romanians. And I mean, you know, 20 years ago Ceausescu was overthrown and murdered, and I call it murder because there wasn't any trial or anything. Some people stood in a room with him and they argued and took him outside and shot him, which is a horrible, stupid story that ought to be also talked about. But at any rate, she is reviving and keeps alive all the old talk about the secret police of Romania at the time of Ceausescu, except that she claims that nothing has changed. I guess because she doesn't get an entirely sympathetic response, even in Germany, to a lot of things she says. Now, she also accuses the Germans of tolerating the extension of the secret workings of the old Securitate. When I read the article, I recommend people go to, you can find it on the internet, you can read the article that she wrote for Die Zeit, and I would suggest that if you read it with a slightly skeptical frame of mind, you might come to the conclusion that Herta Mueller was delusional because of the strangeness and exotic character of the things she accuses people of. She has a lot of stories about people being followed and disappearing people, and as I say, linking it not just to Romania, but to Germany today. So when you have someone who's got the kind of point of view she has, and then you give her a Nobel Prize, I'd say it's pretty dangerous.
Well, you know, you can get a Nobel Prize for literature. You can get a Nobel Prize, a Peace Prize, for maintaining two wars right now, you know, if you're Obama.
With two, so, and one to go.
One to go.
Yeah, you sort of one on the burner. I know. We should say first, right off the bat, over and over, the Nobel Prize is political, whether it's the Peace Prize awarded by the Norwegians or the Prize for Literature awarded by the Swedes. But it is now and always has been political. And the greatest hero on this subject, in my view, was Jean-Paul Sartre, who refused it because, you know, he was a consistent man. He had always said it was political. And then they said, well, here, we're going to dangle $1 million in front of you and the chance to have your names all over the world. And he said, no, I won't take it. And he said, I don't want my name, Jean-Paul Sartre, Nobel Prize winner. He says, you incorporate me when you do that. I do not want it.
No, it's
and
also, yeah.
It's great, you know, very much to his credit.
It's rumored that Pablo Neruda had his Nobel Prize denied to him by the CIA. There had been boasting, allegedly, by the CIA that they were able to interfere and spread money around to prevent a communist poet from winning the award. So.
Yes. Hey, by the way, I'm glad you mentioned that, the CIA and their role, because they certainly have played a big role. They funded a magazine in the 1960s called Encounter, which a lot of liberals, Americans, proudly wrote for and preened themselves, and all the money was coming from the CIA. And it's helpful to be reminded of that, because, and particularly in dealing with a phenomenon like Herta Mueller, who seems to believe that states and secret police are a thing of the East or a thing of the so-called the communist system. We have the secret police. Yesterday's Toronto Star had a big story, and I'm sure there won't be any follow-up on it, but they said that they have the record kept by the RCMP on Tommy Douglas, someone who was voted one of the great Canadians, if not the greatest Canadian. And to this day, there are pages that we cannot see, in which his conversations, private conversations, Tommy Douglas, are redacted, where informers and policemen were keeping track of Tommy Douglas's comings and goings in private conversations. One of them, at least in the Toronto Star, was identified. He was at a peace demonstration of some type and talked to someone, and we aren't allowed to know what the RCMP knew of what he said and who would have been present. Well, so I'd say to Herta Mueller, hey, welcome to the real world. Now that you've grown up from 12 to 13, it's time to look around, you know.
Yes.
But she wants to know. She's got an agenda. She wants to go back to what, until I'm shown otherwise, she wants to go back to Dad's program. And that's the one that interests me.
Well, no one could deny today that we live in an intensive surveillance society. But I think, yeah, let's talk about the political context. Let's talk about Germany, because right now, okay, we have two things going on. Number one, it's going to be the 20-year anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. And number two, we have an enormous economic crisis, which is affecting Germany and Eastern Europe and the rest of the world. And a lot of ideas that weren't being talked about that were thought to be buried are coming back. So now sales of Karl Marx, you know, his book on capital, are up in Germany and Japan and elsewhere. People are talking. They did surveys. The East Berliners are starting to miss East Berlin, and 53% of Germans were saying that, you know, socialism is basically a good idea, because people are worried now about their jobs and their healthcare and so on. So now might be the time to start bringing out those old materials, saying, well, don't start thinking about socialism because, you know, Stasi and secret police, etc. And I think that could be a major driving force in terms of any political motivation for giving Mueller the Nobel Prize.
Yeah, I would agree. And the prize over the years, they've given it to some others who was similar kind of point of view. And I think that they reflect the fault line of history. But we have that fault line of World War II, and the Swedish Academy was on the wrong side of that fault line, or they tried to balance in the middle of it. And they sort of have, in my view, a moral failing on this score, because I think if the award were given, say, in London, Paris, Moscow, Herta wouldn't do too good. But the Swedish Academy has their own history to think about. And so they want to justify, you know, well, you know, when you have to worry about how the Transylvanian Germans were treated after World War II. And the rest of the world says, you're right, maybe some bad things happened, but we better look at World War II, because a lot of bad things happened. And this would have to probably come pretty far down the list.
There are movements in places, especially in the West these days, to try to force a sort of moral equivalency between Nazi Germany and some of its opponents, like the Soviet Union, to sort of minimize the crimes of the Nazis and start talking about, well, what happened to some of these people after the war? Were they mistreated? And so on. You know, and I think this is also coming at a time when there's an increasing polarization in European politics. You're suggesting that Mueller might be fostering hard-right sympathies, and certainly the hard-right is growing throughout Europe.
Well, they seem very happy with their award, yes.
there's a greater ethnic role in politics now. You know, there's the increasing hostility to immigrants, and now there's, it looks like, increasing ethnic politics about how are the German minority being treated in X country. I find that could be dangerous as well.
No, I think you're absolutely right. That's what it is. There's anxiety, and there's also the old ideas of, beggar thy neighbor. You know, our people are the chosen, or we're the best, and we're the strongest, and why are they coming here? And, you know, this is an old problem, and her contribution to it isn't very helpful. Well, I guess my point is, I'm so far disappointed that there hasn't been enough commentary on this. But one of the reasons is, by the way, she's hardly known. I mean, I've been following commentary from Eastern Europe. A lot of people said they never heard of her before. So it is it's very political in that way, because it makes her suddenly very prominent.
No, and that brings further questions, too, as to why she was picked. It is my understanding she's not too well known outside of Central Europe, so selecting her indicates possible biases. But in any case, before we go, you had mentioned this before, but where would you suggest people look to find out more about this or to engage critically with the subject?
They could go right to her, to the site talking about her, and that you can go on the Internet and just read what she has to say. I'm not aware yet. I'm aware that there are... I've seen pieces, you can find them reprinted from the New York Times, saying there's a lot of commentary around the world that is skeptical and negative, but there's no specific article that I'm aware of.
Well, what I meant was you had mentioned her articles, that she had written some things that seemed...
Well, there is one that's reprinted on the site discussing her that I found on the Internet. It's the August 31... 2009 article in Die Zeit, which is translated, and it's called The Securitate in All But Name. And there's also, you can find the discussion of her wanting to prevent and going to the length of quitting International Pen over the admission of former writers from the former GDR. And she has that, you know, this anti-communist McCarthyist thing where she... If she thinks if she can show a link between someone and their party, then that's good enough that they shouldn't be allowed to be a member. You notice, by the way, I'm not saying she shouldn't be a member, Penn. That's her business, and it's a business if people want to like her. But we have to address people's point of view. Her view, though, is she has an intolerant view. She wants to get rid of people. She doesn't want them to be allowed membership. And that's, to my mind, another reason we have to fault the Nobel Committee. Say, she's a real roughneck when it comes to politics.
Well, so much for reunification, so much for free speech, I suppose.
Yeah, she's not in favor of it.
We've run out of time, but thanks very much for helping us look at this in a different way.
And tell everybody we should vote for the novelist Atwood. I don't know why Canadians aren't complaining that... our own great novelists aren't recognized.
Maybe we're not doing enough to nominate them. Maybe there's not enough backing. Who knows?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thanks very much, Phil.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And that was Phil Taylor from The Taylor Report, hosts radio program Mondays on CIUT from 5 to 6 p.m., and discussing the awarding of the Nobel Prize to Herta Mueller.